Hey, we're going to be in Matthew 13 again, Matthew chapter 13, and continue to speak about the kingdom parables, parables of the kingdom of God. And I'm going to begin in Matthew 13, verse 31. It says, he put another parable before them. So this Matthew 13 is just a list of different parables about the kingdom, and so this is another one. I put this parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. So again, just to remind you, a parable is simply a story of a natural thing that describes a spiritual thing. So Jesus is trying to help us understand what his kingdom is really like. And so he says in this particular parable that it's like a mustard seed. Has anybody ever seen a mustard seed? I mean, they're really tiny, maybe about the size of one of the little balls on a pin, you know, a little pin head or a little holder, little thing. Very tiny. And so Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. I mean, if you can imagine those people who were standing there looking at that mustard seed thinking, that's the kingdom? Sometimes there were these, I don't know if Jesus meant to be comical about it, but he's trying to give some exaggerated stories that people remember. And he says, this kingdom of heaven is like this grain of mustard seed. And he's talking to people who probably have a view of the kingdom of heaven as being this grand and glorious, mighty, powerful thing. And Jesus comes and said, it's like a mustard seed. And that a man took and he sowed it in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, he said it's larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree. You know, some people say that the Bible's not true because they'll read this and say, well, mustard seed doesn't ever become a tree. Jesus didn't really understand his biology. But Jesus is really giving them a picture of something that's totally out of the ordinary. It's a miraculous thing. It's unexpected. You would expect that when you plant a mustard seed, you get a mustard plant. But Jesus said, no, you plant this seed, you're going to get a tree. Something greater, something bigger, something more than you would expect. Something that can't be done by natural means. It's a supernatural thing. So for those who say the Bible's not true because Jesus said a mustard seed becomes a tree, I say, baloney. It becomes a tree. It's a supernatural, miraculous kingdom that he is bringing forth. And then he says, so the birds of the air come and they make their nest in its branches. So I want to draw a little picture here. This is kind of what Jesus is describing in this parable. It's a mustard seed, a tiny thing. And the expectation is it would, you know, mustard seed becomes a mustard plant. And they're, you know, they can be somewhat tall, I guess. But Jesus said, no, it's going to become a tree. So let's talk about what's he referring to here. In John 12:24, Jesus is talking about another seed, not a mustard seed this time, but a grain of wheat. But it's the principle of a seed. And that is, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it will remain alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You know, you take a little kernel of wheat, you put it in the ground. I was reading somewhere that on the average, a grain of stalk or stalk of wheat would have maybe three heads on it, and each head has maybe 50-some or 30-some kernels on it. So maybe 110 kernels on a stalk that come out of one seed. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And so Jesus is saying that a seed is like that. A seed has all kinds of potential for life and for multiplication, but there's only one thing that must happen. Who can see what it is? It has to fall into the earth and die. If you take a seed and set it up on the shelf, it can last there for 100 years. I think they've even found seeds in some of the Egyptian mummies and tombs, and they're probably thousands of years old. And they can pull them out and put them in the ground, and sure enough, that thing will grow. So there's a principle of a seed that it must fall into the ground and die. Otherwise, all the potential that's there for life remains only potential. And I feel like what Jesus is talking about, the kingdom of God, when he says it's like a mustard seed, I think he's talking about himself. He's the first one that must fall into the ground and die. His life has brought forth so much fruit in this world. The millions, literally billions of people today that call him the Lord are because the one seed fell into the ground and died. The one seed that they looked at, you know, Jesus was, in his day, he was seen in a lot of different ways. Some saw him as Messiah, for sure. Some saw him as a teacher. But some people said, you're a madman. Some said, you have a demon. And on this day we celebrate Palm Sunday, he came into town as a king, but he was riding on a donkey. It was like, is this the king? Is this the king of the kingdom of God coming in on a donkey? And when the soldiers began to torture him through this week, they put a crown of thorns on his head. Is that this great king? Is that what this kingdom is all about? Well, sure it is. It's the mustard seed that's falling into the ground to die. If it doesn't, it will abide alone, but if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. After Jesus died and rose again, there's a scripture in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. He was gathering with his disciples, and when they came together, it says, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now see, I think that's what they expected. They expected kind of you don't have to go back there, but the picture of the mustard plant. Will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Their view was this kingdom of God was about Israel. Will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons the Father has put in my hands, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where else? The uttermost parts of the world. See, his view of the kingdom was not just, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus is here to win the world. Jesus is here to win people from every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation, and he will do that. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that one day, standing before the throne of our Lord Jesus Christ, there will be people from every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation standing before the throne, giving glory to the Lamb. So Jesus' view of the kingdom is not just a mustard plant, it's a tree. It's much bigger, something you wouldn't expect, a miraculous, powerful thing. But it started with that little tiny seed. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You see, this is how the kingdom of God grows. Jesus left that up to us. He fell into the ground and died. And now he took those 11 people. In this particular chapter, Matthew 20, I think it's verse 16, he says, he was with the 11. Judas had committed suicide by this time. But can you imagine 11 people, Jesus saying to 11 people, I want you to take the gospel to every nation. So we got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11. So that's these three rows right here, from Jerry over to Tana, down here to Macy. Jesus comes to you 11 people and says, hey, I want you to reach every nation. Isn't that sort of unbelievable? They didn't even have the internet. They didn't have radio. They didn't have television. They didn't have cars. They didn't have airplanes. They didn't have the printing press. But he says, hey, I want you to reach the world. Because why? It's an amazing, powerful thing that can be done only God's way. This is the kingdom becoming a tree. It's not just a seed. And it's not just a mustard plant. I want to reach the world. And so he gives this commission, this call to just 11 people. And so you see there kind of another like a microcosm of his kingdom, telling just 11 people, a tiny mustard seed, telling 11 people, I want you to reach the world. And I mean, look where we are today. They say there's about 2.6 billion Christians in the world today, but it started with those 11. Those 11 who were faithful to make disciples. That's how the kingdom expands. It expands person to person, from one person to another. And then it says it becomes a tree. Some people say this is hyperbole, you know, that Jesus was speaking with kind of exaggerated things to kind of make a point. And that may be true to some degree, but I believe that Jesus was referencing some Old Testament prophecies when he talked about this tree and the birds. And there's a scripture in Ezekiel 17 when he's speaking about a prophecy about the kingdom of God. It's described this way: on the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it. It was a sprig from a tree. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, that it will bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird in the shade of its branches. Birds of every sort will nest. And that's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 13. The birds of the air will come and make nests in its branches. So I think that Jesus was calling to mind to those people, this is what Ezekiel prophesied about. This kingdom that I'm building, yes, it'll begin as a mustard seed, but it's going to become this magnificent tree, and the birds of the air are going to come and make nests in it. And when you read that scripture in Ezekiel 17, there's another one in Ezekiel 31 and also in Daniel 4, It kind of shows you that a tree describes a king and its kingdom. And the birds that come into the tree are the subjects of the kingdom. And so that picture of the kingdom being a tree is really a reference to the prophecies of Ezekiel, I believe. And so Jesus has this vision for his kingdom that reaches around the world to every tribe, every nation, every people group. But it starts out small. It starts out insignificant. Remember through the book of Acts how insignificant the religious leaders felt the church was. These are unschooled fishermen. Where did they get this wisdom? Paul writes to the Corinthians, not many mighty, not many noble are called, not the wise according to this world. It's like they're insignificant little mustard seeds. But if we'll just fall into the ground and die, there's fruitfulness. Fruitfulness comes when we fall to the ground and die. It's a principle of God's kingdom. So how does this growth of the kingdom relate to me? So what we're talking about now, I kind of gave you the story of the parable and kind of gave you an interpretation of it, kind of what it would signify. But how does that relate to me in my life? And I just have three things. One is, first, you got to receive it. You have to receive it. Think of it this here, this way. The kingdom, Jesus one time said, the kingdom of God is not a physical location. No one's going to be able to say, go here or go there, and you'll see the kingdom. He said, the kingdom is among you. He said, the kingdom is within you. You can't see it with observation. So if I said to you, hey, let's all go see the kingdom of God today, we wouldn't travel anywhere. We wouldn't go to a different country. We wouldn't go to see a great castle anywhere. It's an invisible kingdom, a place of authority and power where he is the king, but it's his influence that begins to spread like this great giant tree. And so when you hear the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the king, the good news of the kingdom, when you respond to it, the kingdom expands. See, there was a day in your life when you were part of the kingdom of darkness. And somebody came to you, thank the Lord, somebody came to you and shared the good news of the kingdom of God. And they told you what Jesus did. And they told you about him and his greatness and his power and his love and his forgiveness and all the things that he is. And the Holy Spirit drew you and he opened your heart to hear and to receive. And what you did is you repented. And so the Bible tells us here in Matthew 4, 17, from that time Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, it wasn't like he's bringing buildings or castles. It's, I'm bringing me. I'm the king. I'm bringing the kingdom. It's here. It's the rule of God. And he says, hey, the kingdom of heaven is here. How are you going to respond to it? Will you bow your knee to the king? Will you yield to the king? Or will you brush it off? And so he tells us the true response to the gospel of the kingdom is to repent. Repent. Change your mind. The kingdom of heaven is here. There's a different king, a different set of rules, a different way of living. He says, this is the kingdom of heaven. So change, turn, make that 180. Turn away from your ways and say, Lord, I want to yield to your kingdom now. And so that's how the kingdom begins to expand in this world. That we talk to this person who's in the kingdom of darkness and that person who's in the kingdom of darkness. And our message is simply, repent, the kingdom of heaven is here. And whatever other words you say, but that's the message. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is here. And some will hear that and they will repent. And they are now brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And they're part of it. The kingdom of God is not something we're waiting to enter into. It's here now. You enter that kingdom when you're born again. You're taken from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. Acts 8, verse 12 says, when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So, can I say to you that the first way the kingdom expands and how it really impacts our life or intersects with us is through repentance and baptism? If you're here today and you've never repented, you know, bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus, said to Him, you are the King, and I yield to you as the King of my life. See, all of us want to be our own King, don't we? We want to rule our own life. We want to rule our own destiny. We want to be the one who chooses. Let the Lord be that. He's the Lord. And if you've never really yielded to the kingdom of God, today's your day. And if you've never been baptized as a response to the kingdom of God, get baptized. If you have never been baptized and you've been born again, but you've never been baptized in water, would you tell one of us today and we'll plan to do it? We'll just set a date and come and do it. We have a baptism tank over here. You say, where? It's that tiny little thing. No, it's in the floor. It's in the floor over here. We can just remove that cover and throw you in there and shut the lid. But no. If you've never been baptized, can I encourage you to do that? This is a response to the kingdom. What else can we do to see the kingdom expand? Well, the second thing is embrace it. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. He was talking to his disciples and saying, hey, you know, people are all worried about food, clothing, this and that, just all kinds of things in this life. And Jesus was telling them, listen, what I want you to be concerned about is my kingdom. That is the priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He says, all these things will be added to you. That's the promise of Jesus. Somehow, you know, we're duped into thinking that Jesus isn't going to take care of all those things for me, so I have to do that on my own. And He says, no, your priorities are mixed up. Seek first my kingdom. And that is just that He would be the one who rules in my life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. And then in Matthew 6, verse 10, Jesus taught us to pray. And this is one of the sentences in that, what we call the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean we're waiting for something to drop out of the sky? No, it means may your rule come. And He describes what that means. May your will be done.
on earth as it is in heaven. That's what the kingdom of God coming is all about, that his will be done. And so how do you embrace the kingdom? I think it begins with you and me on a regular basis, checking the priorities of our life, seeking first his kingdom. When we find our priorities become askew, we say, Lord, you know what? I'm off track here. Let me come back and set my priorities again on your kingdom. I want to seek it first. I want it to be first in my life. I want you to be the ruler. I want you to be the king, and I want to surrender to you. And then my prayer, as we pray the Lord's Prayer, Lord, how should we pray? How do we pray? Lord, teach us how to pray. Well, here's one of the things. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth, but yes, in my life. May your will be done in my life. That's how you can embrace the kingdom. Because I think sometimes we may repent and get baptized and we have this initial start into the kingdom, but there's a continual process. We continually embrace the kingdom. We want the kingdom to expand into every area of my life. I remember Rayo preached a message one time about how our life can be like rooms in a building, and we give the Lord access to this room or that room, but we always have this one little closet. We say, I just want to keep this one for me, Lord. And Jesus said, no, I want everything. I want to take it all. He wants total dominion. Jesus has something. You remember in the Civil War, they called U.S. Grant. You know what that stood for? What they said it stood for? Unconditional surrender. That's what Jesus is calling for. Unconditional surrender. That's how the kingdom expands in our life. And the last thing we can do to expand the kingdom is to actually proclaim it. In Luke, the 9th chapter, he called 12 together. He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. When we go out, that's what we're doing. We're proclaiming a kingdom. We're talking about a king, Jesus, who came, who conquered death, who conquered hell, who conquered sin. And he is now offering you a branch of peace. He's offering peace for you and God. We are enemies of God. He's saying, hey, I'm giving you terms of peace, but it means unconditional surrender. That's what we're proclaiming. Proclaiming the kingdom of God, the rule of God. And for those who hear that, they repent and they're baptized and they begin a lifelong journey of may your will be done in my life. May your will be done in my life. But now we turn around because, you know, our Christian life is not all about just my own personal growth. It's about extending the kingdom. When Jesus told 11 people, I want you to go and take this gospel of the kingdom to every nation, that commission is still ours today. And so, yeah, I want to focus on my own life. I want to grow. I want to let the kingdom of God invade every area of my life. But I want to bring others. I want to tell others. And so we go and we proclaim the kingdom of God. And along with that, when we proclaim the kingdom of God, guess what? We're bringing the king with us. And so there is power to heal. There is power to cast out demons. There is power to deliver. All these things that Jesus sent his disciples out to do is there because it's the kingdom that's coming. His kingdom is not just a literary statement. It is a powerful, dynamic reality. We're bringing the kingdom of God into people's lives. And again, it's not our power, it's not our authority, it's not our greatness. It is the Lord Jesus. We're bringing his kingdom. And so this little mustard seed becoming a tree all around the world. And then finally, Luke 10, verse 10. Whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. That's a powerful statement there. That when you go and you preach the gospel of the kingdom, you're bringing the kingdom. See, we're not pointing people, go there or go there. We're bringing the kingdom of God. We're giving people an opportunity to surrender to the kingship of Jesus, to start making things right in their life. Think about this idea of the Christ, the anointed one. He came to make things right, to heal the leper, to raise the dead, to open blind eyes, to set the captive free. This is the power of the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. And that same power resides within his church through his Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So when we go and we proclaim the gospel, we're bringing something with us. And yeah, you may not have all the right words, and you may be fearful, and you may be stumbling in here and there, but I'm telling you, you're bringing the kingdom. And Jesus is saying here, I want you to know that if they don't receive you in a town, just kick the dust off of your feet. But they need to know that the kingdom of God has come here. It was here. It was here and you missed it. So I'd like you to stand with me as we close in prayer. This is the parable of the mustard seed. It starts out as a tiny thing, but it's becoming a tree all around the world. The exciting thing about it to me is that God gives us the opportunity to be involved in that growth of the kingdom, the expansion of the kingdom. And so as we close here, we're going to sing a last song, I guess. And when we close, I would like you to think about the three things I mentioned today. How can you expand the kingdom? Well, one is receive it. Maybe you're here today and you've never really surrendered to the lordship or the kingship of Jesus. If that's so, I want to pray in just a minute. Bow your knee to Jesus. Everybody comes this way. Nobody comes another way. Bow your knee to Jesus and surrender to him. Repent and then get baptized. Follow the Lord in obedience and baptism. If you're a Christian and you've been walking with the Lord for some time, maybe you've lost the priority of the kingdom. Maybe your life has been caught up in other things, and now you've been reminded again today that the kingdom of God is what we must seek first. This is, Jesus takes care of all the natural things of our life when that is our priority. Do you believe that? Do you trust him for that? And maybe what we need to do today is say, Lord, I just need to refocus the priorities of my life. And so today, that can be your prayer. I want your will in my life. I want to choose you every day. Show me the way. And then, finally, I just urge you to proclaim the kingdom of God. If you live in a neighborhood, tell the kids, tell the parents, share it with your families, tell the people you work with. What are you offering them? You're offering them the freedom and the joy of God's kingdom forever. You're speaking words into that person's life that will change them forever. I pray that Satan would not be able to defeat us with fear or uncertainty or worry or shame or whatever else we struggle with to tell this message, because Jesus is bound and determined his kingdom is going to fill the earth. There's another story in the book of Daniel that talks about a little stone that was taken, and it began to crush all the kingdoms of this world, and it crushed the feet and the legs and the breast and the head, and it said this stone became a mountain and it filled the whole earth. And that's talking about the kingdom of God destroying every other kingdom. That's what Jesus is all about. It's unconditional surrender.